Among new movies today, The Aviator, about the late billionaire Howard Hughes. You can't see it everywhere yet. It's in what's called limited release. But people are already talking about this as one of the best films of the year. Martin Scorsese directed. NPR's Kim Masters now on how The Aviator compares to Howard Hughes' real life.
There are so many stranger-than-fiction stories about Howard Hughes that you almost feel sorry for Scorsese trying to pack even part of his life into a mere 2 hours and 49 minutes.
Now, I am supposed to be many things which are not complimentary. I am supposed to be capricious. I have been called a playboy. I've even been called an eccentric, but I do not believe that I have the reputation of being a liar.
The Aviator may be an Oscar contender, but it does not satisfy one of Hughes's many biographers.
The Aviator is a horror movie without the monster. The real Howard Hughes is not in it.
Michael Drosnin wrote the best-selling Citizen Hughes. He says The Aviator, which only deals with a segment of Hughes's life from the 1920s to the 1940s, couldn't possibly do justice to the man.
The real Howard Hughes tried to control the entire world outside using his fantastic wealth to try to buy the government of the United States and succeeding to an amazing degree, although he was at that time a naked madman with 6 to 8 inch long fingernails who kept his urine stored in mason jars in the bedroom closet.
Drosnin concedes that the really wiggy stuff happened after the period covered in the film. But to him, the movie misses the best part, the arc of Hughes's rise to national hero and his descent into corruption and madness. And it's a good thing for Leonardo DiCaprio that Drosnin is not a voting member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Leonardo simply doesn't begin to suggest the power that Howard Hughes radiated.
As the film shows, the real Hughes was a visionary who made aviation history while shooting big Hollywood movies and betting movie stars like Katharine Hepburn and Ava Gardner, as well as a bevy of underage girls. Eventually, he was up to his neck in bribery and intrigue involving the CIA, the mob, and leading political figures of his day.
Presidents of the United States dealt with him as if he were another sovereign, as if he was an equal, and everyone took his money.
In fact, Drosnin's book makes the case that a Hughes bribe to Richard Nixon provided the impetus for the Watergate break-in. But Drosnin does not view Hughes as evil. To understand Hughes, he argues, you have to consider motive.
He was the ultimate paranoid, and he was using his money to buy power in order to feel safe.
After a tortured life, what is the lasting legacy of Howard Hughes? He took aviation to new levels, and film critic David Thompson, author of The Whole Equation, A History of Hollywood, says he produced some interesting movies, too, like the original Scarface and The Front Page. But Thompson doesn't see much of a deep filmmaker sensibility in these pictures.
I think it's confined to airplanes and breasts, probably. Not that those are unworthy things. I mean, there are a lot of boys in the world who are quite content to spend a lot of time looking at either.
You won't see it in The Aviator, but Thompson says one great Hughes contribution to film came through a picture that he didn't make.
He really did enable Katharine Hepburn to do the Philadelphia story.
Hughes paid for the play to be produced and got Hepburn a contract stipulating that she would star if a movie was to be made.
And that was out of his feeling for her at a time when she had been labeled box office poison, 1938, that sort of period. And, you know, she might have disappeared. And the Philadelphia story was the beginning of a great comeback for her. And it was, inadvertently, the move that took her to the studio where she met Spencer Tracy.
Hughes had a way of starting things that turned out to be big, even if Hughes was merely pursuing his own passions. Consider one of his most lasting legacies, the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. In 1953, Hughes gave his aircraft company to the Institute. According to Drosnin, it was a tax dodge, and Hughes looted the foundation during his lifetime. But after he died, trustees sold the company for $5 billion. And the result?
We're the largest non-governmental funder of scientific research in the United States.
Avis Meehan is a spokesperson for the Hughes Institute. She says the Institute's scientists have snapped up 6 Nobel Prizes in the past 6 years. Even if Hughes couldn't have foreseen what the Institute would become, Meehan says he's still a presence there.
His portrait greets us at the front entrance every morning, and we do have a lot of his aeronautical trophies here.
But the real lasting connection between the Institute and Howard Hughes, Meehan says, is the spirit of adventure, a spirit that Hughes embodied at his peak as an aviator. For Day to Day, this is Kim Masters.